It's another Friday afternoon and you are tuned to The Sod Show at Sod Show on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSodShow and sodshow.com for the entire back catalogue. If you like what you hear while you're listening to it, press the middle button on your phone, go to iTunes, and you can do that rate and review thing. Apparently it helps with your, I don't know, apparently it helps. Yeah, and it's also cheaper than posting cake to me. Let's get to today's guest, this gentleman, Michael Perry. What a career. And I genuinely mean this. And you'll hear a lot of joking and goofing at the start, and he kind of explains it. But if you can, right, you have a piece of paper, like the edge of a newspaper down the right-hand column, you listen to The Guardian, you're reading Jane Prone's article, go to the little bit, just chalk down what age Michael was when he did X. And his career, well, in fact, not only is Michael better looking than me, beard aside, his career also happened a lot faster. It's not only that it happened faster, it happened, it's the way in which he did it. And he jokes, and it's like as if he tries to hide it a slight bit or something. But man, what a legend. When you think about it, you'll understand when you get there. There's birds around me. Yeah. They keep coming down my chimney, as by the way. I've got a drawing room. I operate off about three desks. It's kind of like farmland, County Nowhere. And so the chimney stack, it's a like one of those silver ones that goes up with like a Chinaman's hat on top. I don't know what you call them. But the birds keep coming down, so I have to leave the door open and leave the door of the office open overnight. It's fine, like it's grand, you know. They'll be okay, but they just keep buzzing out. Sidetracking ever so slightly, there's a note of thanks due to the wonderful team at the National Botanic Gardens in Dublin. I had a group of garden design companies and landscape and business owners and horticulturists, and they came across from Germany and asked me would I do a talk for them. I got in touch with the National Botanic Gardens in Glasnevin, Dublin, and asked them would they, in short, open up the, double underline this, National Botanic Gardens of Ireland, just for me personally. Would the staff come in early on a Saturday morning? Would they do all of this? Would they let the coach into the car park? Would they have lecture rooms ready to go? And they did. And I am personally jeepers, so eternally grateful. What a wonderful thing to be able to walk into your own gardens. You'd swear I own them the way I said that. I just didn't want to say national again. But what a wonderful thing to be able to do when nobody is there and the birds are just chirping and it was lashing out of the heavens and it was raining and it was beautiful and you could feel the heat coming out of the glasses that had been building up all morning. And thanks, lads. More than you realise, I should post you, Kick. If you were on iTunes, I'd give you a glowing rating review. I'd tell you that you are better looking than Tom Jones, but essentially, I am eternally grateful. Before you go any further, if you're in iTunes and you just subscribed, the next one that's kind of down, assuming your settings are okay, is Anna Platoni, who was last Friday on the show. She is the entomologist. What a word if you're playing charades and you've got a couple of Ferrero Rocher and a few glasses of Pimm's inside you'd go down like a real lead balloon on this one. But what an amazing story to go from, again, childhood to creepy crawlies to Butterfly Dome at Hampton. What an installation that was, and the response from you online to that was out of this world. And I watched a mate of mine listen to that story, and he, God, you'd swear he was, I don't know, I'm hesitant to sing the words, but you know the whole Hakuna Matata, that thing, yeah, I'm not a big fan of that at all, but it's catchy, it's kind of stuck in my head. And the bit where he starts crying, yeah, this is my grown mate, my mate. I'm not going to tell you his name, he'll only get embarrassed. They're going to have to figure it out between themselves down the pub, and nobody's going to own up to it. But the way he watched that and got upset, and the way I watched a grown, think about this, a 40 plus year old grown man sitting down like a 2 year old after watching the A-Team, and either A, thinking he's face man, B, thinking he's B.A. Baracus, or C, reckoning he can take apart his dad's toolbox, weld it together, and make some kind of tank out of it. Now change that to butterflies. That's the level we were at. Yeah, on the B.A. Baracus thing, my dad used to burn corks from wine bottles, and he'd rub them on the side of our face at Halloween, and we could walk around to our mates going, which you talk about with us, which is actually out of Different Strokes. Right, let's skip past that. Let's go to today's show, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Michael Perry, at Sod Show on Twitter, The Sod Show on Facebook. Find us on iTunes, do the thing. Love you lots. Chat to you after this one. Okay, take care. So long. Bye.
It's another wonderful Friday afternoon. You are more than welcome to the Sod Show. You wouldn't believe today if I told you, but in my company is an absolute legend, a pure gentleman, and a stalwart of the horticultural industry. Michael Perry, you are more than welcome to the Sod Show.
Thank you very much. I think I need to be a little bit older to be a stalwart, though, don't I?
I'm not too sure. We've had we've had Jamie Butterworth on, but
he's really old. I'm younger than him.
That as well.
Yeah. I'm only 18.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll get to
that in a little bit. Let's go a little bit back. For those who are not aware of who Michael Perry is, what is it that you do? What did you do for an education, I guess?
What did I do? I changed the world. No, I'm a new product developer at Thompson & Morgan, which is the biggest mail order plant company in the UK. And some of my creations, there's actually one beside me right now, are grafted vegetable plants, so dual cropping vegetables. So you've got the tomtato, which is a tomato on the top and a potato on the bottom. As a finalist, in Chelsea Plant of the Year 2016 is the egg and chips plant, which is one plant that produces aubergines on the top and potatoes on the bottom. 100% natural, not genetically modified, novelty. Kids, teenagers love it. How many plants do teenagers want to grow, hey?
When you say product developer, and to be fair on this one, back in the day when somebody said to me that they bred a new plant, it was they grafted a rose, you put a split in the stem, you inserted a new bud, you trial it for scent. It took eons and eons and eons, and then it has to be kind of registered. When you took the job with Thompson and Morgan, did you ever foresee that you would be having a conversation where you were saying... egg and chips plants, because I gather
probably not, no.
But I gather like most guys who get into gardening and horticulture, you liked obviously growing plants, and it was not as exciting as that 10 years ago, let's call it that.
Well, I joined the company 18 years ago, so I've been there half my life. So I'm not younger than Jamie Butterworth. And I joined the company working on the seed development side, so introducing new seed products. I then worked on some of the DVD programs that we do a bit of presenting now on the shopping channels and different PR radio work as well, such as now.
Yep.
And really, I've been doing full-on new product development for the last kind of 7 or 8 years, and that has included a lot of brand new fuchsias. We've got the fuchsia berry, for example. I pretty much invented climbing geraniums. We've got climbing petunias, ground cover lilies. So sometimes it's been about not necessarily new genetics, but new ways of looking at plants we already know, using them in a different way. And at Thompson Morgan, with the plants I've introduced, I'm never bothered if something's off. Maybe it's a new red petunia or it flowers 2 weeks earlier. That is not of interest to me. I'm looking for innovation, something that is a climbing petunia, something that's super fragrant, something that's got stripes, spots, you know, something that's really going to make you sit up and look in the garden.
Well, let's go there, Michael, because this isn't like you can turn around and say, I need to invent a new plastic that is super durable to the rain, and you go into a laboratory and you've control over everything. You can't put this into a calculator, press the square root button, and out comes a new plant with stripes and spots. How does one go about inventing a new plant? Does that question make sense?
I actually don't know. It's just I seem to have the knack for recognising plants that are new, different, unusual, different ways I can use the plant, or different ways I can promote the plant as well. So for example, there's a really unusual botanical plant called Heteropappus mayendorfii, and it looks like a blue chrysanthemum. So when I released it in the Thompson Morgan catalogue, I released it as the blue chrysanthemum, and it makes people sit up and take notice. It gets people excited about plants as well. When you're talking about the grafted plants, then it's a lot of fun, and it's trying to break it into a new audience. And we looked at obviously all the different vegetables that are in the Solanaceae family, because they would be compatible to graft together. And of course, the most obvious choice was the tomato and potato, which has been done for about 100 years. But then the next step that you see here is the egg and chips plant, which is of course aubergine, eggplant, and the chips are potatoes at the base, and that has never been done before. So it's really being creative with plants, I guess, and if that knack doesn't come to everyone, and I don't really know where that comes from, but I guess I've built up the skill over a few years now.
Did you do gardening as a 6-year-old? Did you dawdle around in the back garden? Did you do all of that?
I was crazy about plants when I was a kid, kind of had a small patch in my parents' garden, soon took over the whole garden. Even when I was 12 years old, I had a miniature mail order herb nursery selling plants through Gardener's World magazine.
Really?
Yeah, and I had them all laid out alphabetically. I had about 20 different types of mint, you know, 10 types of thyme.
What age were you then?
Yeah, about 12. I was a really square kid. And I was selling plants at the end of the driveway, kind of working on the school garden as well. Yeah, I was having a lot of fun at that age.
So you noted it, 36. So 24 years ago, you're selling plants at the bottom of your driveway.
Yeah.
That would have been deemed extremely square at the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's very different being a kid now because it's almost celebrated that that you can be individual. People want to be individual these days and they don't want to look the same. But when I was younger, which is obviously a while ago, it was kind of, if you were different, then you stood out. And so everybody had to have the same type of jacket. Everybody had to play the same type of computer game. And of course, there's me kind of trying to hide my passion for plants, you know.
Did you get a hard time at school over that?
No, because I hit it quite well.
Oh, you hit the plant side of it?
And it wasn't a cool thing to admit to. But these days, you know, anything's cool, and if you're into something that is unusual, then it's almost, you know.
Let's go to the cool side of things then, if we can, because your Instagram account is pretty much you. Let's be frank about this. This is the internet. People can figure this out on an Etch-a-Sketch. They don't need me to tell them. But let's go there if we can. You have Michael Perry usually in a white T-shirt in bed with the hair slicked up. It's fine. It's on Twitter. It's and there is a mild sense of Irish wit in there. But at the same token, you have taken what you would call plant hunter, plant inventor, and you've given it an entirely new, different way of looking at it, which is that I am normal, I am human, and we had this with Anne Marie Powell.
I get a lot of modelling work, what can I say?
Okay. We won't push it too much, but... Do you?
No.
Okay.
Do I?
But why?
I do now.
why did you? Why does it happen that way? Is it? And do you actually make it a little bit sexy? Because you are you label yourself as a plant hunter, and then I think plant hunter, a guy in the Himalayas, maybe searching for something, living in a teepee kind of thing for 14 months. But you're not that. If that makes sense.
No, not at all. And kind of, I've always felt a little bit fraudulent when I've put that, but it kind of like, I'm almost a plant conceptor. I've actually just rebranded my website as Plant Geek, so MrPlantGeek.com. And that kind of, when I was thinking kind of the phrase that summed me up the most, it was, because on Twitter I'm like Gardening Greek, which then relates to my heritage, and like then I've got the Plant Hunter website. Yeah. And it was all a bit kind of, I didn't quite know, like, who I was, but the kind of now plant geek, kind of then, you know, I'm crazy about plants, looking for new, different, unusual plants, and also searching for new plants, talking to different suppliers, breeders, growers around the world. And I can also tell you how to grow those plants and gardening shortcuts, gardening hacks as well. So that kind of encapsulates it all. And of course, it's peppered with selfies.
That pretty much sums it
That's
up.
That's made you speechless. That never happens.
No, it's a rarity indeed. Right? No, but and to your credit, and don't get me wrong, we do have a joke and a little bit of a laugh on the sideshow, but at the same token...
Well, I think part of it is I don't mind poking fun at myself.
But it lightens it up.
Yeah,
it
and you can tell that from my account, and I don't take things too seriously, and I think that's why people are attracted to my social media accounts, because in horticulture, you've often got... It's, I don't know if the right word is competitive, but it's very hierarchical. And it's almost like, unless you kind of know everything about how to do horticulture, plants, gardening, etc., then you're not respected. It's like you have to reach this level before people then take you seriously. And I find that a little bit frustrating, because like everybody enters at different levels and they've got different skills, different interests. And yeah, I might kind of look very different to the usual kind of gardeners or kind of people involved in horticulture. But that doesn't mean my knowledge is any different. And it's really interesting when I go and do garden club talks. When I walk in, I'm kind of in skinny jeans, looking a little bit different. And they're kind of like, well, what are we going to learn from this guy? And then about 20 minutes in, I can see on their faces, they've suddenly realized that, oh my God, this guy knows what he's talking about. And yeah, he might have, you know, like creeping tattoos up his arms and like skinny jeans and kind of not look like our usual speakers, but he really knows what he's talking about. And I kind of get off on that. You know, because I'm just me. I'm not trying to be anything else.
Okay, yeah. For those of you at home listening, and I know we've a lot of people who listen to the sideshow who aren't members of garden clubs, who aren't members of gardening societies. You like to dabble a little bit, you'll buy one plant. You might buy the egg and chips plant. It's at that level. You'll goof around, you'll grow mammoth onions, and you may grow chili seeds on your window ledge. Mm-hmm. To be fair, in garden talk land, it is very much a quiet place of calm. usually, generally. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah.
And then you walk into the room and Led Zeppelin kicks off in the background. There's fireworks displays.
Still quite respectful.
No. But it's still horticulture.
Very different. And also with the presentations I do, I put a lot of energy into them. And kind of my enthusiasm really shows through. And I'm not kind of going in there with some old-fashioned slide projector, which is just going kind of click, and this is the back garden. Click, and this is a gunner, you know. It's not like that at all. And yeah, and I think they're delightfully refreshed by it as well.
And as am I, Michael. It's a pleasure to be in your company. It's a finally.
Want some whiskey in your water, sugar in your tea. What's all these crazy questions they're asking me? This is the craziest party that could ever be.
Let's go back to when did you go and study horticulture in college? Was that the way you did it?
Well, I've never been very good at planning ahead, so kind of when I was at school, I didn't really know. I knew that probably plants was the only thing I was good at, so I wasn't quite sure what options there were. And you've got horticultural college, and I went on to Otley College and did a national diploma in horticulture, and that was fairly good, but it's a very general course, so it was plant identification, the things that I enjoyed and I was good at, but also things that I was really rubbish at, like driving tractors, you know, and reversing tractors, more to the point. So that was kind of happening through, you know, 2-year course. And by the end of it, I wasn't really sure what I was going to do again. Not good at planning ahead. And a job came up. Well, no, not a job came up. Actually, a competition came up at Thompson & Morgan, which is your biggest mail order plant company in the UK. Got to use the strap line.
Oh, okay.
And it was to design a garden at the headquarters. And so I designed a garden. I filled it with plants that had been raised in the Suffolk area, which is where Thompson Morgan is based. So I kind of had the plant knowledge, but also the marketing spin as well. So showed that initiative. And I won the competition, of course. And then went for presentation and kind of, you know, was awarded, I think, a greenhouse and some seeds. And then a week after, I wrote to them and basically asked for a job. And I guess they recognized my initiative, my knowledge, my kind of marketing acumen as well. And then they took me on as a kind of apprentice, I guess it was.
What age were you then, Michael?
I was 18.
Holy good.
But yeah, it's been a half my life. I'm kind of grown up with the company. And yeah, so I've been growing up in public, like the Truman Show.
When you started in Thompson & Morgan, and again, like, we spoke about this with Rob Hardy, and we spoke about it with Mark of Hortus Loci, and we've gone through a lot of it with people who have done it and been there and I guess reached a level that you are at, or a level where I would look up and say, you know, respect. And again, I'll backtrack for those of you listening at home. There may be a jest in here, but there's also a serious level of respect for what Michael has done in his career. When you started in Thompson & Morgan, were you making the coffees and teas? Was it all new?
Well, I kind of accelerated quite quickly because I was working initially with the product manager who was putting together the new seed varieties for the seed catalogue, and he actually left after about 6 or 7 months. So I then started doing some of his work, and obviously I'd shown that I could, you know, do product development, and I had a good knowledge of plants and could recognize new plants as well. So I almost like accelerated fairly quickly, so I didn't really have a big period where I was making a lot of coffee. So no,
yeah,
I did
have
to order the stationery for about a year.
Oh, no, that's not to be disingenuous. So I just think that when you're, if you're 17, 18 years of age and you're in Rittle College and you're listening to this and you're kind of going, how did Michael get to where, what's the career path? A lot of people are saying to me, and we spoke with Paul Martin about this pre-Chelsea, and Paul was saying, look, just get in, volunteer your services.
Yeah, just say yes to everything. That would be my advice to anyone.
Build a show garden and do that. And that's generally
speaking. Do things
speaking,
that scare you.
Essentially, yes. Mm. So at what age then were you doing the plant development? That makes you about 19 or 20. Is that fair?
Is that right? I was doing it at that point because, like I said, my boss left. And then I started working on what was then the autumn plant catalogue, where we introduced lots of brand new plants. And so I was very... not doing it prematurely, but doing it, you know, I accelerated very quickly and some meteoric rise, whatever. But and then I was doing that for a few years, and I took a break to travel for a year. And then when I came back, I was working on almost like helping to direct the DVD programs we used to. We used to film the whole of our spring catalogue as a presentation with two presenters. And kind of working behind the scenes there. And I remember at the time kind of being like, oh, I can't do this. But kind of like my big boss pushed me to do it. And I'm kind of thankful that he pushed me to do all these things. And it was about 5 years ago that he suggested I go onto QVC shopping channel and try and sell, you know, some of the plants. Because I had the knowledge. I'm the guy that goes out and finds the plants. So I'm then the best person to talk about the plants at the end of the day. So that was very nerve-wracking at first. But I got used to it after kind of a couple of seasons. And now, you know, I think I'm quite... quite good at presenting, talking about myself, and kind of in a way that I didn't have this confidence when I was, you know, 20 years old at all. So I'm kind of almost unrecognizable. So the company's not only given me that career advancement, but also confidence advancement as well.
So 20 years of age, having been in a company for about 7 months, approximately, thereabouts, your title is what?
Oh, I can't remember. Product manager? I've always been some sort of product manager. Really.
And what have you? What are you now? Let's say 16 years.
New product development manager. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But titles don't mean anything.
No, it just kind of. Well, I could ask you for a job description or a job brief, then I'd apply for the job, then I'd get it, then I'd be your boss, Michael, and then it'd all go pear shaped.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Your boss. Not so much that he has given you the thing, it's got you on to there. How big is Thompson and Morgan? People who have never ordered seeds. And there's a let's split this down the middle. There is a new wave of ordering seeds that are starting to come online. People I know who have never ordered seeds before are starting to do it, and it's only really in the last year or so. There is also the ye olde school of old, which would have been the mail ordered thing that I would have grew up with, that you would have grown up with, which was ordering seeds essentially in the old way, but online. In your case, how are you finding seed sales? Have they did they take a dip for a few years as per trends, and did they come back up the far side? Has it taken? I think a lot of people said to me in the dip years, let's call them that, in the financial dip years. Logically, seed sales of vegetables, etc., came up, went up through a little bit through the roof, and then they seem to be going on the decline again. Is that a fair way to put that? How are you finding it?
Perhaps, yeah. I mean, flower seeds has definitely declined because we came along with plug plants. There was then easier ways to produce and supply those plants to the customer. Veg seeds, I mean, we're still seeing a fair growth with veg seeds, and obviously it's a lot bigger than flower seeds, and people do want to grow their own. And also, when it comes to selling vegetable plants, it's very hard to see any value in buying a vegetable plant when it's so damn easy to grow from seeds. So kind of vegetable seeds is fairly, you know, still steadily rising for us, but definitely a larger part of the business than flower seeds. But the seed side of the company is still very small compared to the whole plant side of the business. And obviously we're selecting for garden performance as well. So we're not selecting those plants that are kind of garden center suitable. So it doesn't matter if they fit onto a Danish trolley or they flower 2 weeks earlier. We're looking for the pure garden performance. And that's the real difference when you order from a mail order company such as Thompson & Morgan.
How big is Thompson & Morgan, to put in context? I mean, is it at Ferrari level? Does it employ 4,000 people? Is it a...
About 350 people.
That's big.
Yeah.
That's big.
We are the biggest. We have the biggest turnover as well. And we're almost also the most, I don't want to say complex, but comprehensive as well. We've got a lot of different areas to the business. Kind of, you'd be surprised where we pop up sometimes, because the main part of what we do is innovation and new plants. And we're looked at as being new plant introducers, and that's a very important part of our business. And actually, you know, we change about 30% of the catalogue every year with brand new introductions, because it's just so damn important to us, you know.
How big is the competition scene to Thompson & Morgan? And I know we have the Solanum tuberosum, you'll have to say a little bit
egg
better.
The
egg and chips plant. But you have that on the go. That goes up for award. And again, from talking to the likes of Rosemary Hardy, you start to see how important it is to, let's say, a nursery. But in the seed development, you then grow it into a plant. You then put that plant up for award, I gather. Does that make a difference sales?
When we won Plant of the Year in 2012 with the Foxglove Illumination Pink, we sold something like 200,000 plants in a week. So it's really important for sales as well.
That's why
I've got my fingers crossed.
But it's also a huge credit to you. It's a huge compliment to you, the team and the entire Thompson.
Absolutely, yeah. It really is. And you know, just part of the year, there's only one plant awarded each year, and it really has to represent innovation and a step forward in breeding and horticulture. And it's not just an award for a new red rose, for example. It has to be something that is entirely different. And you know, egg and chips fits the bill. Digitalis Illumination Pink fitted the bill as well. So yeah,
so let's put this down in a nutshell. Michael Perry, if I was to write you a business card, it's going to be quite a long one at this stage of the game. You are new product development manager at Thompson & Morgan. You present on the QVC shopping channel, doing the plants, I should add, on that one. You do garden talks. What else?
Is that not enough?
It's never enough, Michael. You should know that.
Obviously, I'm quite looking at the social media side of things, because I see that as an important way of breaking into new audiences and people that usually wouldn't be interested in plants and gardening. They usually wouldn't, you know, even think to visit a garden, but they suddenly might stumble across something online. And that's the way social media works. There could be, you know, a retweet on Twitter and it might just capture your attention. Then suddenly you're interested in plants and gardening, or Instagram, where it's a lot more visual as well.
True.
So it really, that I spend a lot of my time doing that and trying to, you know, obviously let people know about these brand new plants and about myself.
What's spare time, rest time for Michael that's not plants?
Oh, it really is still plants, I guess. I guess I travel a lot. I travel for my job, but also personally, so I like to visit new cities, kind of abroad, treks through the jungle, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Okay, when you come to Dublin for a pint of Guinness?
Wow, I was there last September. You miss me.
I know. What were you doing there?
I was talking at one of the garden events for Mr. Middleton's shop in Dublin.
Really
good event, actually. Just a whistle-stop tour, and hopefully I'll be back this year, so we could then have a bit of a discovery.
Yeah, sure. Look, it has to be done. Michael Perry, thank you so much for your time. Been a real pleasure. Thank you.
No worries. Thanks a lot. Cheers, man.
Maybe I should have listened.